Welcome, everybody. Episode number 321 coming your way.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Welcome to another episode of the RV Podcast. Hey, what do you do with all of those photos that you take on your RV adventures? We're going to talk about that with an expert. She's such an expert that Chris Gould, known as Mrs. Geek, wrote a book about it, dealing with Google Photos, a free app that will help you sort and organize and have fun with all those photos you took about that you've been taking on your vacations. Hey, we also have a lot more. We got RV News of the Week. We have the Burkitts with an off-the-beaten-path report. We have your questions, your tips, and we have my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, my Michael.
Week away from Thanksgiving.
We are.
And we have pretty much decided that we're not going to have a podcast on the day before Thanksgiving. That Wednesday is such a busy day for so many people. Now, I know this is a different year, but we're going to give ourselves that day off. And you can spend it with your family as best you can, wherever you are. Every state is different. I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but we all want to be safe and all that stuff. So no politics, but Thanksgiving is a very special day, and I know a lot of people are very busy, so we are going to take Wednesday off. No podcast next week. We'll be back the following Wednesday. Does that sound right?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We did put up our Christmas tree.
Yeah, we've never put it up this early.
And, you know, I posted something on my Facebook page about it, and I was stunned to see a whole lot of other people have done that this year, too.
This is such a crazy year. I thought, who knows what we'll be doing or where we'll be going. And if I go to all that work putting up the tree, I want to look at it for a little while in case we might go someplace right after Thanksgiving.
We are planning to do some RV travel. But the tree, I think, was even more than that. It's a sign of normalcy, right?
Yes.
A sign of happiness.
Putting up all my ornaments are special to me because every one that I hang up, I think where I bought it or who gave it to me, and every ornament has a story to tell.
They do. And I helped a little bit yesterday, and I was just amazed. You tend to pick up an ornament at every national park we visit, every really cool place.
And we have ornaments that the kids made at their Sunday school classes.
Years and years ago.
Yeah. When they were just little munchkins, and just lots of ornaments.
Yeah. And it was fun really putting up all of those gifts. And I was pretty excited. They are gifts, you know, each one of those memory is.
I try to pick up an ornament.
So that's what we did. And we haven't been anywhere. We've had great response to the video we did on our most recent trip, which was a visit to Advanced RV in just east of Cleveland, where we saw that brand new B-Box RV that they have built. That was a fun trip and a fun video.
I am glad that we did that because we kept talking about it, and then we put it off, and should we do it or not do it?
Yep, and a lot of people seem to be very interested in that video.
Yeah, not everybody can go there the way we did.
So that's what we've been up to, putting up the Christmas tree and putting out content. Everybody, I always feel guilty, like, well, what did you do? Well, every day I've got a new blog post out. We've been working on videos, and we've been working on podcasts, and we've got about three more to do from our travels before we hit the road again. But I think I'll be editing on the road because we've got some trips that we want to do, and I think it'll be kind of fun, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, this part of the video is brought to you by Camping World. You know, Camping World, they're all over the place. They're America's number one RV dealer, and with 225 locations around the country, there's always one close by. We tend to use Camping World for our shopping. Most of our parts come from there, most of the accessories, the little things that we buy to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun, we usually pick up at a Camping World. We go up and down the aisles and load up our carts every time we go by a Camping World. We have a complete page of all the RV and camping supplies that Jennifer and I use or recommend. And you can get 10% off any of your purchases through the online Camping World, through our little link for anything over $99, they'll give you a 10% off. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/campingworld. That's rvlifestyle.com/campingworld.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
AAA is projecting about 50 million Americans will travel this Thanksgiving. But the organization says this is the biggest drop in travel seen since the recession of 2008. The decline is blamed on rising COVID-19 cases and an increase in unemployment and financial strain. The majority of those who do travel, 95%, will do so in a vehicle. And AAA is urging all travelers to plan ahead, know the route, and be sure to know the COVID-19 rules for any stops.
That is, 12 years. This is the lowest it's been in 12 years because so many people are not traveling. We just heard a few minutes ago, more and more states are urging people not to have multifamily Thanksgivings. And I don't know. I don't know how many people are going to follow those laws, you know, about Thanksgiving.
I haven't heard. I heard Washington State canceled Thanksgiving.
Well, they can't cancel Thanksgiving. I think what they're doing is limit. They're all trying to limit indoor gatherings because, you know, that's where most of the cases for COVID are picked up, from indoor face-to-face conversations. And we're all indoors right now, and that surge is caused by it. So it's a tough choice for all the states, and I'm not going to prejudge any of them, but I do hope that all of us can have a happy Thanksgiving
and stay safe.
And yeah, and stay safe. That's the key thing. Sad story out of North Carolina. I don't know how many of you caught this and all the confusion out there of everything else in the world these days, but 5 people died, including a 1-year-old child and a teenager, after floodwaters rushed through the Hiddenite family campground about 50 miles north of Charlotte last week. Heavy rain accompanying flooding were the result of Tropical Storm Eta, which was moving through the country, if you remember. 7 to 10 inches of rain fell in that downpour, and emergency personnel were able to rescue more than 30 people, but 5 of them they could not save. That is just a horrible tragedy, and our hearts go out to all those that were impacted by that terrible flood.
Florida snake hunters have caught a record number of Burmese pythons this year in the Florida Everglades. Great news for everyone who loves that part of the country. Burmese pythons are an invasive species that pet owners illegally released in the Everglades years ago and have now increased in numbers so rapidly they are causing massive damage to this unique ecosystem of the Everglades. The Florida governor has challenged 2 state agencies to take out more of the snakes, and the result has been competition, which is always a good thing, and an increased effort by various snake hunters. As of mid-October, about 4,000 pythons have been caught and removed this year, shattering previous records.
Have you seen some of the pictures of how big those snakes
no,
are?
No, and that's okay. I'm not missing anything as far as
literally,
I'm concerned.
They cross both lanes of Alligator Alley, and that's like, what, 22, 23 feet?
Do you realize how much they eat?
I know. Oh, they're horrible.
Yeah, that's why it's good they are removed.
I've wanted to do that story every year since I've heard about it.
I want to go.
Now, it used to be that it was in January when they had the big python hunt, and we were always tied up with
the Florida RV show,
and we never could get down. But that story seems to indicate that they're hunting all the time. So
yeah, so maybe you can do it.
Well, we're going to be down in Tampa for that show, assuming that still goes on in January, and I'm going to have to check. If anybody's down there, any of our listeners know about it, holler. You want to meet me? We'll go watch. I just want to go cover something. I don't want to catch one. No, I just want to watch somebody else catch them, but I think it'll be a really fun story.
Crazy if you want. But you can do wrestle it. Catch one.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. We do love the Everglades, and we just did a story a few months ago on the Flamingo Campground in the Everglades National Park. So if you haven't been to our RV Lifestyle page, go on over there at RV Lifestyle on YouTube and look up Flamingo Campground. We did a review.
And we were fortunate when we were there, the bugs weren't bad. There was a breeze. It was a little bit cooler.
Yep. And we saw crocodiles. People say, there aren't any crocodiles. No, there's crocodiles. In the eastern part of the Everglades, there were a lot of crocodiles. We saw crocodiles. And we saw a lot of alligators. And it's just such a unique area, the Everglades. And we visit there every year if we can. Yep. Yep. Speaking of down south and kind of that part of the country, Louisiana is in the news this week because 8 Louisiana state parks are now offering camping experiences for those who don't own a camper or a tent. They created 60 glamping sites in its park system. Glamorous camping, glamping. Each one featuring safari-style tents on a raised floor with canvas sides. And each of these tents will have a bed, heat, fire pit, chairs. These glamping sites are part of a state partnership with a private company called Tenter. And prices to rent one of these glamping tents in Louisiana start at $85 a night.
Rocky Mountain National Park is continuing to open up more parts of the popular park closed after wildfires surged through the area last month, consuming hundreds of thousands of acres of forest, including about 30,000 acres or 9% of the land inside the national park. Besides forests, the fire destroyed many historic structures. In fact, the fires are still burning, but because of snow and accompanying moisture, are not considered as much of a threat. The park put a video on its Facebook page so visitors could see for themselves what the fire did. It is a powerful video, and we would urge anyone who cares about the park and is curious to know more about it to check out the video. We'll build a link to that video on the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/321. That's rvlifestyle.com/321.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on premium, powerful electric bikes and now with free shipping. Rad Power Bikes are built for everybody and priced for you as well. And they offer a series of different e-bike models that fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. Every one of the Rad Power Bike models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You can utilize 5 different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine the two. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. We love our Rad Power Bikes. Jennifer and I both have one. And the thing that's so neat about them is that they're priced at less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because they deal directly with the consumer. And if you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, Rad Power Bikes will give you an additional $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping on all of their bike models. Use that coupon code RV Lifestyle for an additional $75 off. Visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, we got lots of, a couple of comments and a question we want to take. One, Thanksgiving is coming, and we were mentioning on our live show, our live stream Sunday night that we do an hour-long live show on YouTube, interactive show where you can ask us questions. We ask everybody to give us a, what you're thankful for this past year. And we had this call that came in.
Hi, Mike and Jen. This is Lindley Rollins. I am thankful for RV Lifestyle for saving what otherwise is a terrible 2020. I've been a big traveler abroad, and by June of this year realized that I better have a plan B. So I put in an order for a leisure travel van, and I started watching you on YouTube and reading your newsletters. I've spent the next 5 months buying stuff for the van. I've gotten great advice from you both, but also the sense that although I've never RV'd, this is something I can do. And so I thank you for that. Hope 2021 is a better year. I think it will be. Thanks again. Bye.
Well, isn't that nice?
Very nice.
You know, and that's what we were talking about on the on our Ask Us Anything show on YouTube the other night, and is that as bad as this year has been, there's always something when you're living the RV lifestyle that you can be thankful for. And we're thankful for all those trips we took just before everything closed down.
We had a good January, February.
And because, you know, an RV is so self-contained, it is socially distant by its nature. So it's probably the safest thing that you can do other than stay completely locked down. You know, everything is in there that you need. And mm-hmm. we were able to get some great trips in, right?
Yes.
And I hope many of you were too. There's always something to be thankful for. Hey, we got another call that was interesting because we were talking about more and more young people, millennials, even younger, that are jumping into the RV lifestyle. And we got this really fun call.
Hey, guys. My name is Marley. I am a 23-year-old male solo full-timer. I have a 2014 Chevy 1500 truck, and I pull a StarCraft launch 21-footer. So I heard you guys talking about seeing lots of younger guys on the road, and I just wanted to call and say, yes, we're out here and we're listening to the podcast. I get tips from you guys every week, and I hope you guys keep doing what you're doing. Right now, I am currently moose-stocking outside of my grandparents' house, but this winter, I will be going to Colorado to do some snowboarding, and have a good winter. Thanks, guys. I'll keep listening. See ya.
No, oh, that is a great call. Thank you for calling us in and mooch-stocking at Grandma and Grandpa's. I bet they're pretty thrilled to have you there.
What lucky Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah.
And such a nice young man.
Yeah. Thanks for phoning that in on our RV Lifestyle voicemail. That is very encouraging to us because we're all in this together, no matter what age, no matter, you know, whatever our circumstances are. If we're in the RV lifestyle, we are all we're all kindred spirits or fellow travelers, as we like to call everybody. And we got this interesting note, too. This was sent to us by a listener named Bert Roy. And he says, Mike and Jen, I just found out something interesting after getting my RV serviced. I have a 2017 Class C with only 5,000 miles on it. And I was told that, much to my surprise, the tires are old. I know that you have a big following with new and veteran RVers, and after a lengthy conversation with the tire manufacturer, I found this to be true. There is a DOT, Department of Transportation, stamp on the tire with the date that the tire was made, and if not paid attention to, could lead to a blowout. Maybe you could pass this along in one of your tire safety segments. Thank you, Bert Roy. That is very good advice, and he's absolutely right. Stamped on the outer sidewall of every tire is its birth date, and it's in a little different format. So let me just walk you through this. It's week and year format. So what you do is you kind of scan the tire sidewall and go clockwise around, and you'll see the letters DOT. When that is there, because it signifies the tire's compliance with U.S. Department of Transportation laws and regulations. And just to the right of DOT, going clockwise, are a series of letters and numbers followed by an encircled group of four tightly spaced numbers. And these are the numbers that you need. The first two numbers represent the week of manufacture, and the last two numbers indicate the year. So for example, if you are on a tire and you come across it and you see 2118, that indicates that the tire was manufactured in the 21st week of the year, and the number 18 represents the year 2018. So this is important because it's a general rule of thumb that a tire has a maximum life of about 10 years. And beginning at about 5 years, tires should be annually inspected for condition and, you know, signs of age-related degradation. And from Michelin Tires, this is from their website, if the tires haven't been replaced 10 years after their date of manufacture, as a precaution, Michelin recommends replacing them with new tires. Even if they appear to be in usable condition and have not worn down to the tread wear indicator, this applies to spare tires as well. One of the problems with older tires is dry rotting and cracking. What bothers me about this is Bert, the guy who called that tip in, had a 2017 Class C. He says he's only at 5,000 miles on it. And he said that he found that his tires are old. So somebody put old tires on that new RV that he has. Not good, huh?
No.
Yeah. So anyway, we will put a link to some other resources that you can use to find that, including a link to how to find that that DOT number and the date and all that. So if this went by too fast or you're driving, but we'll put a link on determining the age of your tire and you can check it out yourself. So thanks to Bert for calling that in. And thanks to all of our callers who used our RV Lifestyle Podcast voicemail.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV Podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to Mike at RVLifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV Podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable, and now heated lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. That's right. You heard me right. Heated batteries. It's now an option when you get a Battle Born lithium battery. This is awesome. You can now go winter camping, as many of us do, and your battery is heated. So much more use. And this is a pretty cool new thing that Battleborn just made available on its Battleborn batteries. Their motto is get out there and stay out there. And that is their mission, to provide the highest quality lithium iron phosphate batteries that you can find. And now they have built-in battery heaters that are available. Whatever kind of an RV you have, a Class A, Class C, a B van, a travel trailer, a camper, don't worry, you can find a Battle Born lithium battery or a bank of them that can probably just drop into whatever the existing batteries that you're using. Your best bet is to go to their website, and we put an easy link to them. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium, rvlifestyle.com/lithium, and when you are there, tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
Time now for the RV Podcast interview of the week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
One of the things that I do all the time, probably too much, and you do too, is take photographs.
Well, I love taking photographs.
I know. We have so many on our photograph, on our smartphones, which I think many of you are probably in the same boat, that sometimes it'll gobble up the memory in the smartphones. Mm-hmm. And you have to go through and you have to... And don't you hate it when you have to delete a picture that you've put on there?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, you don't have to do that if you have your photos sent over to Google Photos, which is a free app that you can put on your smartphone, whatever kind of smartphone you have. And you can just, there's a setting there that all the pictures you take will also, they'll go in your regular photo library that you use, but they will also go into Google Photos.
Sounds like a good thing.
And you can have unlimited, up to 2 terabytes of storage, which is enough for years and years for most people. And it is so neat that what you can do. But not only that, you can organize and make stuff with those photos. And anyway, we thought that it would be a really smart thing to do is to get the expert on Google Photos onto the podcast and see such an expert that Chris Gould just wrote an update to her Learn Google Photos book. And we'll talk about that. I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode that you can go to it and pick it up. But Chris Gould is the better half of the Geeks on Tour. Chris, her and her husband, Jim, are known to many, many of you who have attended rallies and conventions and RV shows around the country for the seminars that they do on using technology while you're on the road in your RV. They also have a popular YouTube channel or two, and we'll talk about that as well. But Chris is going to give us some great ideas. So what do you do with all of those photos that you take while you're out there driving around? Chris Gould is our interview of the week, and she and Jim, as we say, are top influencers out there about the RV lifestyle. From the RV influencer community out there, Jim and Chris Gould, you know them as the Geeks on Tour, or Mr. and Mrs. Geek. Guys, it's great to see you. How are you?
Oh, great, man. How are you?
We are doing exceptionally well for the times that we are in.
Yes, these are strange times. And one of the reasons I ask you on the show this week is to kind of help people take advantage of maybe a little extra time they have, because few people are traveling as much as they used to. And that has to do with the stuff that you, Chris, just wrote about in your new book, Learn Google Photos. Hey, I got one. You got one. Now we're going to get all of our audience to get one. And we'll put links, audience, in the description below so you can find this book. But cool. Chris and Jim have been teaching, as I said in the intro, they've been teaching photos and tech stuff to the RV community for years. And this book is just a really handy resource for us as we look at photos. But right now, as we approach the holidays, as this episode is being aired, a lot of people are thinking about holiday gifts, or they're going back and thinking about all those photos they've taken over the last several years. Chris, give us first some ideas of what we can do with those photos and how your book and using Google Photos in particular can help.
Thanks, Mike, and it's great to see you again, too. We really miss running into you at the RV rallies, and we haven't been to an RV rally in a long time. So thanks for having us on. And photos has been my main focus for a long time. We take all those photos with our smartphones, then what do you do with them? The first, just in case there's anybody out there who does not know what Google Photos is, I need to say just a few words about that before I talk about the things you can do with it. Google Photos is from Google, obviously, and it's an app on your phone. It's a website where you can store your lifetime of photos private to you. So you just upload all, and you can upload photos that you take with your phone. You can upload all the photos that are on your computer. You can upload photos from other cameras. So it's a collection in the cloud for all of your lifetime of photos. I have 100,000 photos in my Google Photos library, and nobody, no how, can see them except for me, unless I choose to share. But since it's cloud-based, it's very easy to share. So that's the first thing that you can do with your photos, is just collect them all in one place. And then, what's Google mostly known for? I mean, just Google as a brand. Search, right? So I can bring up my 100,000 photos, and in a split second, I can show you photos of kayaking in Venice. Yep. We did kayak in Venice. It was so cool. or Mount Rushmore, you know, or an Elks Lodge in Idaho. You know, I can just search for that and boom, there are my photos. So that's the number one beauty and purpose of using Google Photos.
Now, one thing we should explain to everybody is that Google Photos is free. It's a free app, right?
Yes, now, it is a free app.
There's some storage issues if you get way up there, but that's for practical purposes.
Right. You will have to pay for some storage if you have, you know, multiple hundreds of thousands of pictures. You will have to pay for some storage.
Yeah, but that's very reasonable. It's not nothing that people have to worry about at this point.
$2 a month. But the idea is that it is still unlimited storage. You know, you just may have to end up paying a little for it.
It's awesome. It's awesome that way. So that's where you can put all your photos. You talked about how you have yours organized, and those are all tips that we'll talk a little bit about in the book in a minute. But
not in the book.
Folks, some ideas right now that they can do with those photos.
Well, you can make albums and share albums. Does anybody you know have one of the little smart screen devices, a Google Home Hub or a Chromecast on your TV? You know, here's one thing that a lot of people do. They buy their parents a Google Home Hub, or no, it's called Nest Home Hub now.
I think so.
Right? Nest Home Hub. And it's a screen. And then they share, it's talking to us. They share an album.
That's like, hello, Google.
Hey, Google, stop.
I'm going to mess with you this whole time. Hey, Google, what time is it?
Oh.
You probably have an Alexa. We can mess with you too, don't you?
Okay. No more. I do, as a matter of fact.
Well, the ones with the screens on them will show pictures. And Google Photos has a way to say, make me an album and automatically put every photo of the grandkids in it. You know, whenever I take a photo of the kids, put it into this album. You share that album with grandma and it shows up on her Nest Home Hub. So anytime you take a picture, you know, within minutes, it's being shown at grandma's house.
Now, somehow along the line, you have to identify that photo, do you not? Don't you have to? You don't. So how does it
know?
How does it know you're, you know, the grandkids and grandma?
Well, at one point in time, not really. Google has face recognition. So whenever you take a picture, Google Photos can see if there's a face in that picture. And if there is, it recognizes that that's the same face in this picture and that picture and the other picture. And it groups them together. All pictures with one face will be grouped together. And you can say, that's the face of the grandkids. Put that into an automatic album. And then share that album with grandma.
You could put that in the RV as well, couldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you have a new smart TV, very likely this capability is built into it. If you don't have a fairly new smart TV, then you can add on these tools that would allow that. All of our screens in our house have connectivity, so we just have them running slideshows of our pictures all the time on all of our devices. We don't watch TV. There's nothing on.
No, there isn't.
But the TV is on because it's showing our photos. So we'll go on a little two-day RV trip. When we walk back in the door and turn the TV on, we're seeing our best photos from that RV trip on the TV.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. All right, give us a couple more things. What else can we do?
Okay, a couple more things, and this is just through Google. If you see a picture you like, you can say, ooh, I want a wall hanging of that, and they will make a canvas print. Wow. So, and I love these. And this was, I don't know, $30. And it comes all ready to hang. You know, all you have to do is have a hook on the wall and you get your picture.
And you can do that right through the Google Photos app.
Right in Google Photos. You just open up the photos, say, make me a print, make me an 8x8 or a 11x14 or a 16x20 canvas print. You pay it, you give your address, and you get it in the mail.
Or you could even have it sent somewhere else.
You could have it sent as a gift somewhere else, yeah. And the other thing is the books. There's my road trip.
In the Tetons.
Yep. And the quality is, I think the quality is just really, really nice.
Yeah.
So there we are at a rally.
A lot of glare.
Yeah. The quality is really, and this was, I don't know, $30 or something, about 100 pages.
Wow.
And once again, there's lots of ways that you can make a book using your photos, but they're all a lot of work. If you've ever gone to Shutterfly or one of those, you know, you can do it, But they tell you, okay, which picture do you want on this page and where do you want it positioned and what text do you want on there? All right, now let's go to page two. No, this book took me three clicks. I just said, I already made an album of my 2018 pictures, send, put them in a book and send it to me. That's all I did. It's books, prints, and canvas wall hangings.
I know a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to this right now. And what they want to know is how to do it. And of course, this is how to do it with Learn Google Photos. And we're going to put a link to it. Talk a little bit about that book, Chris, so people can understand what they will learn from that and just how it will help them do this kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, the link that you're going to give them actually goes to where I wrote a summary. So there's 13 chapters, I think, 13 chapters. And the link gives just a paragraph about each chapter. So you will see everything that's in it. This is my third edition. And before Google Photos, I wrote a book on Picasa. As you know, we taught seminars at RV rallies all over the country. And what to do with all those photos was a very popular seminar. And I had just little seminar handouts, you know, and after a while, and then I answered questions. And then I wrote a website and had all these articles. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if there was just one place where it was all together and people could go page by? There's still something valuable, isn't there, in having something physical in your hands that you can turn the pages, take notes on. Well, so that's why I came up with this.
Many of us grew up like this, you know, with newspapers and things, and just the tactile part of holding on to it and being able to look at it, not have to click. It's great. It is great. We'll put a link to that. Yep.
But what's the problem with paper books these days? Google Photos changes weekly. The minute that this was published, and we did it self-publishing at Amazon, by the way, so you can get it at Amazon. The minute that this was published, there were pieces of it that were out of date. So I have a companion webpage, and the link is written in the book where you can go. And like I just wrote in there something today, and I wrote in there something yesterday, and I specify which chapter is affected by whatever change just happened. So it's, this book is alive. It's not just a book. It's a book and a webpage and a whole website and a YouTube channel.
And, you know, it's my segue into, this is new for you guys, right? You now have put together a YouTube channel all about learning and working with Google Photos. So, we should put that up on the screen a little bit and show everybody what that website looks like. But talk us through how you came about the RV channel that you're doing with Google Photos.
We've had our Geeks on Tour channel for many years. We do a weekly, it's gotten to be like every other week now, a show called What Does This Button Do? Where we deal with general issues of smartphones and technology. You know, you've been a guest of ours on there a couple times talking about how to manage passwords and just general technology stuff. Well, but we've developed such a specialty on Google Photos. It was recommended to us. I'm still not completely sure about this, but it was recommended to us to start another YouTube channel dedicated to Google Photos. So we've done that. And to get some more traction on there, we are going to do an open Google Photos Q&A, kind of an ask us anything like you do on Sunday afternoons. We're going to do it just once a month on Monday afternoons.
So in your experience, as you've traveled around, what are the biggest mistakes RVers make when they take their photos? What they do with them after they're?
Okay. I think the biggest mistake is thinking that it's a lot of work and therefore never going back and doing anything. I love my photos of our travels. There are such beautiful places, and it is just such a shame when I hear people say, oh yeah, they take photos and, you know, maybe they'll scroll through them on their phone again, but then they forget all about them and never do anything. No, it's really easy with Google Photos anyway. After you take a picture, if you say, ooh, that's a really good one, you just tap a button and make it a favorite. And then you can put your favorites into a book or onto your TV, or at least share it in an album to your friends. And you can look at your albums again. So that to me is the number one mistake that people make, is just thinking that it's a lot of work and never getting around to doing it.
One of the things that we should point out in our last bit here together is the fact that this works really seamlessly with your smartphone, whether it's an Android device, whether it is a Apple device like my iPhone here, and it will work in conjunction with your regular apps that you use. For example, I take a lot of video and a lot of audio and a lot of stills with the phone. I mean, look at this, those three camera lens on there. Incredible job.
Hey, I have an iPhone now too.
I'm getting my new iPhone 12. This is the 11, and I'm getting the phone. But what I have set, so all of my photos are saved in my regular photo album from Apple, but also Google Photos. So I almost think of it as having a cloud backup as well.
Absolutely.
So I don't have to worry. And what I have to get better at, and which I'm going to follow in your book, Chris Gold, is how to organize my photos better. I think that is probably the best tool that there's out there, is organizing them.
Well, the first thing is that Google does an awful lot of organization for you. I mean, they are automatically organized by date. So all I have to do is say, gee, I think it was summer of 2017 that we were in the Rockies. And I just scroll down to summer 17 and there they are. However, I'll be looking at all my photos from summer of 2017. And I do not believe that you should delete. You know, I took 25 pictures of this mountain and river scene. I like them all. I can't delete any of them, but I can mark one as my best and put it in the album. And then I share the album. So there is that's the only thing that you need to do for organizing, is just pick your best ones and mark them.
Well, our guest has been Chris Gould, Mrs. Geek, and right next to her, and we'll see if instantly we can bring him on. There is Mr. Geek, Jim Gould. And you guys, as always, are just such a wealth of information. Learn Google Photos is the book. Look down below in the description. You'll see how to get it. And we'll put a link to your Google's Photos Facebook, or Facebook. You probably have a Facebook page, but we'll put a link to your YouTube channel and how you can learn more about it right from YouTube. And we'll keep up with all your other links. Geeks on Tour links. And what does this button do? And how long is Jim's mustache going to be next year?
Hey, at least he let me cut his hair. His COVID hair was getting almost shoulder length there.
Reliving your youth, Mr. Gould.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just lazy and I wasn't being seen by anyone but her.
Well, listen, I hope we see you in person in Tampa at the RV Super Show. I know you're hopefully going to be speaking there, as a matter of fact. But, you know, it's still on, but who knows what this year holds. But we will stay in touch with you guys. GeeksOnTour.com is your main website. And again, all those links to the YouTube channel and the book are below. Jim and Chris, thank you guys so much for being on the show this week.
Thank you too, Mike. Say hi to Jen for us.
That's Jim and Chris Gould, two of our favorite people. We've known them for many years now, and Haven't seen them in the past year because nobody's traveling, right? But we will put links to their Geeks on Tour website, their YouTube channels, and a link to Chris's updated new book about learning Google Photos. All that will be in the show notes for this episode. If you're driving, you get to the show notes just by using the episode number and then go to our RV Lifestyle travel blog, rvlifestyle.com/321 is the episode number for this, 321. So go rvlifestyle.com/321 and you'll be able to scroll down and click right on those links and those resources that Chris and Jim do every week for you. The interview of the week brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Man, have they been busy this past year. They have been delivering motorhomes to folks who, have been socially distant, and they'll actually do a tour of the motorhome that they're selling. They specialize in small motorhomes. They'll do a video tour, Facebook or direct tour, or however you want to do it, with Zoom or whatever. They'll take you out there and show it. Nick and Craig and the entire crew at Sunshine State RVs specialize in small motorhomes, and they have a full line of brand new motorhomes like the Winnebago Travada and the Winnebago Era, the Coachman brand, the American Patriot, Fleetwood IROC. Those are all new RVs in stock. And if you're looking for older RVs, used, their inventory is huge. In stock, previously owned RVs ranging from the early 90s to the current year, everything in between. All of their motorhomes are checked very carefully. They go through a very thorough 172-point inspection. Jennifer and I have actually watched them go through parts of that inspection, and they make sure that all of the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition. Every RV road tested, make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior. They turn on every component. They even go up in the roof. And if they see something that needs to be done, they even look for cracks and replace silicone caulking. So just go to them. And you just tell me you heard about them on the RV Lifestyle podcast. Go to sunshinestatervs.com. That's sunshinestatervs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Really enjoy our Off the Beaten Path reports that are submitted every week by Tom and Patty Burkett. They also appear, by the way, on our RV Lifestyle travel blog. We put those on every week, and of course you hear them here on the RV Lifestyle podcast. And one of the things I like about them is they find the story behind the story, so to speak. And I remember doing an interview with Tom and Patty up around a campfire some years ago. And I asked them, what makes you stop? And they said, basically, we stop at every town we go through, and that every town has a story. Now, I think the one that we're going to hear from today is one that particularly resonates with me, because there are so many towns across the country like Cairo, Illinois.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. We've heard a lot lately about droughts and wildfires, and they cause massive destruction, to be sure. But there are some places in the USA that have just the opposite problem: water, water, and more water. A lot of these are along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers, where flooding is a regular occurrence, so much so that some towns have been relocated to higher ground. Others just keep flooding periodically and seem to take it in stride. One such place is Cairo, Illinois, a city with a rich history both of culture and disaster.
The most recent chapter was written about 10 years ago with the spring flood of 2011. After devastating floods earlier in the century, the Army Corps of Engineers, who tried to manage water levels on the nation's big rivers, designed a floodway to protect the city. The floodway is a large tract of land just across the border in Missouri. A levee along the river protected the low-lying land from lesser changes in river level, and the landowners accepted a cash payment from the federal government to allow flooding of the area if needed. In the late days of April that year, a flood was imminent. Here, where the Ohio meets the Mississippi, there's so much water that there's very little place for an excess to go.
Water began to flood the town, and business and civic leaders pressed the army to blow the levee and activate the floodway. City residents stood side by side along the levee, stacking sandbags and holding them in place with their bodies. Meanwhile, the Army Corps delayed. In the intervening 80 years, the floodway had become some of the most productive farmland in Missouri and was home to more than 200 people. Cairo, like many river towns, was on hard times, poor and deteriorating. Missouri's U.S. representative argued publicly that Cairo wasn't worth saving. Ultimately, the levee was blown and the water went down, but not before Cairo and other surrounding towns had suffered millions of dollars worth of damage.
Lewis and Clark made one of their first stops in Cairo in November 1803. They took measurements and practiced their surveying technique. One of the local Shawnee offered Lewis 3 beaver pelts in exchange for his dog, Seaman, but Lewis declined. They even took a day off to paddle down the river and look at an abandoned fort that Clark's brother had built 25 years earlier. By the time of the Civil War, Cairo was a boom town, handling trade from both rivers and shipping in and out from a railway hub that linked several lines.
Ulysses S. Grant made the town a headquarters for the Western Army, and it became an important destination on the Underground Railroad. By the end of the war, thousands of escaped slaves, now free, lived in the city. In 1885, when Huckleberry Finn and his friend Jim set out for Cairo and freedom, the city was important in the shipment of cotton, coal, lumber, and agricultural products. Then things began to go downhill. Segregation and racial strife created a toxic climate for business. A race war lasted into the 1960s, and by last year, the population was a tenth of what it was in 1920.
There are grand things to see in Cairo, like the Magnolia Manor Museum with its double walls, a sculptured call, the Hewer, called by some the finest male nude in the USA, and Fort Defiance Park, where two great rivers meet. Maybe the most valuable thing to do here, though, is to wander the streets of historic downtown Cairo and ponder the decaying ruins of grand hotels, stately homes, and once thriving factories and businesses. It's important to remember that for every story of rebirth and renewal, there's another one about hard times and tough luck out here off the beaten path.
That's Tom and Patty Burkett. And again, you can find all their reports in the RV podcast archives. And also, we have a fresh new report from them every week on the RV Lifestyle travel blog as well. Off the Beaten Path, the story is out there in every single town.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, that does it for this week. Hey, just another reminder, we will not be back next week. We're going to take Thanksgiving Eve Day, that's Wednesday, off. So no podcast the day before Thanksgiving. We will be back the following week. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Be safe. This too shall pass, and we will be on the road again in 2021. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks.